Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. Well, that's the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today as we continue to broadcast live from the Administaff Small Business Classic here in Woodlands, Texas, just north of Houston. Having a great time. And I know why you're here, though. You're here because you heard Joan Pride's going to be on the show. You heard she was coming back. I know all you Joan Pride groupies out there are excited about Joan being back on the show. Well, she's here. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, as you know. Joan, welcome back. They're all waiting for you.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. Anything you'd like to say to all your groupies out there, Joan?
Oh, gosh. I'm overwhelmed.
Well, I mean, I've never seen you be so overwhelmed you were at a loss for words, though.
Well, I've never had groupies before, so this is sort of a new thing.
It's wonderful, Joan. I've had them for many years. It's a wonderful wonderful experience. You know, to
they
be
carry
adored.
Bags and everything?
Well, and to be adored like that, Joan.
Right.
Just to have people so adoring and doting
you're
on you.
You're used to that. I'm not.
Oh, yeah. No. That's big time. It's big time personalities, you know. It gets a little old every once in a while. But
really?
It's not. Speaking of groupies, Joan, the candidates, the presidential candidates, senators, Obama and McCain had a debate last night, and they had and folks, this is just a little current events that we're talking about here, and we're going to get into the Kiplinger letter in a minute, but the debate was the fourth and final debate, the three debates of the presidential candidates, and then we already had the vice presidential debates. You know, if you're not a policy wonk, if you're not a political hack, like I am, I'm not either one of those. I actually have enjoyed the debates. I've enjoyed the different the debates, and I know some of the people pick it apart at the end, but I've watched every one of them, every minute of every one of them, and I actually have enjoyed them myself.
Now, I think they experimented with different kinds of formats, because I know in previous presidential elections it got to the point where people were deriding them, calling them joint appearances. They weren't really debates. Do you feel that these were really debates?
Much more than they were, but they could have been. They could have been even more.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a little more back and forth. Now, I didn't care as much for the one that Tom Brokaw did, because he said they called it a town hall meeting, but it wound up not being really a town hall meeting.
Well, it was too scripted. I think I don't think the people should have had to turn in their questions ahead of time. Now, maybe that's the only way that the candidates, and I don't know this for a fact, I'm just guessing, maybe it's the only way the campaigns would have agreed to that format, but I think it would have been more spontaneous and more interesting if people could have just asked what they wanted to. I could tell you right now, if it was me and I had handed a question into Brokaw and he called on me, I would have asked a different question just to be different.
Just because that's the,
just
that's
because,
the kind of guess you want.
Just because they can't tell, you know, because obviously they only allowed questions to be asked that they approved.
Right. Well, I agree, and I think it may have been more Brokaw than the candidates. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
I wish that they'd had a true town hall meeting.
Right.
But I thought Schieffer did a good job last night, and pretty good job. You know, Joan, it seems that nothing that McCain does is sticking, and it seems that Mr. Obama's lead is increasing, and it's going to be an interesting, the next two or three weeks are going to be very interesting. Most people are just kind of ready for it to be over with, Joan.
Oh, and then me included, I can't wait. I'm tired of the ads and everything, particularly the ads and the phone calls, too.
Of course, you live in a battleground state, Virginia.
Boy, yes, that's right. I do. It's a huge battleground state,
and it's in play in this year in a way that it's been becoming in play over the last few cycles. But it's really in play more than ever before right now, isn't it?
Right. Exactly. It sure is. It'll be interesting to see which way it goes.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure between now and then, you and I will cover some of the maps, more of the electoral maps as things get a little bit closer. But anyway, I hope people saw that. I felt You know, Joan, one of the things that I guess if I sit back and just put my, you know, put my flag on, take off my business hat for a minute, and or my, you know, take off any kind of partisan hat I might have, you had to kind of be proud of the fact that you live in a country where two people can freely get together as they did and talk about ideas and make their case, and then you and I get to go and vote on whichever one we think is the best. Everybody in the world doesn't have that, and we got to be, you know, whether you like how things are going to work out or not, you got to kind of be proud of being in a world like, in a country like that.
Well, and I'm really hoping, from what I hear, a lot more people have registered to vote, and I hope those people all come out and vote, no matter who they vote for. I think it's exciting that we're going to have higher levels of voting this year, we think, than in previous years, because that's been one of the raps against the American electorate, is that you get voting, you know, under 40%.
And haven't the last two elections been record turnouts as well?
I think they have, yes.
Yeah, and so it I agree with you, and so I'm glad about that, and you know, another thing, Joan, that I'm happy about is whenever the bailout slash recovery plan was being proposed a couple of weeks ago, the American electorate got up and said, you know what, we don't like this. Most of them did. And they called their senators, they called their congressmen, and I was very excited to see people getting so indignant about something. Never mind the issue, never mind whether you thought it was right or not. The point that the fact that they made their voice known in such great numbers, I like that idea.
Right, and that's you have a better democracy when you have that kind of situation.
That's exactly right, and then hopefully you wind up getting the kind of government that most of the people want.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's good. So I think there's a lot of hopeful things that are going to come out of all this. You know, who knows who's going to be president? Who knows what the congressional situation is going to be like?
Right.
You know, there may be some surprises. Who knows? But I enjoyed the debates, and I enjoyed listening to them. And I don't like the spinning, though, Joan. I get tired of hearing the different sides spinning everything. I'd rather listen to the candidates.
And I also get tired of all the instant analysis, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do, too, although I have to admit, though, Joan, I do listen to it.
Uh-oh.
I do listen to it, but you're right. But at some point in time, you know, I kind of turn it off. Hey, Joan, hold on to that thought, folks. We're going to come back, and when we come back with Joan, we're going to talk about the economy, the market, how it's the stock market's doing, as you know, is not doing so well, and other things that Kiplinger has in the letter. Be right back. Stay with
you. We only live twice. Do it or die.
Standing on the mountain looking down on the city. The way he ought to be is a doggone pity.
Welcome back. 23 after the hour, Jim Blasting Game, Small Business Advocate, at my website, or smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. We built them for you. Use them to your advantage. They'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's here to talk to us about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, Kiplinger calls what we're experiencing right now a classic market panic.
Yes, and one that the government cannot quell, as you could see yesterday from the stock market.
Yeah, it seems that it's like I've decided that the government must feel like they're playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
You know, you know about that little game?
Oh, yeah. You hit one, and then they come up somewhere else. They pop up somewhere else.
Yeah, the literal process of pushing down the mole that pops up,
right,
pops up another one, and you only got one hammer.
Right, right, right.
And so that's how the kid with his finger in the dike, he plugs one hole, and one comes up, you know, 20 feet away. Another one pops out 20 feet away. Because they got to be feeling like that right now. I mean, never in the history of our country has our government come up with, and some of the financial organizations come up with, as many, as varied, and as creative, and even intrusive, and even anti-capitalistic methods of trying to quell the and stem the tide of fear and everything, and it just doesn't seem to be working, John.
Well, and even earlier, that when you say intrusive, earlier this week, the Secretary of the Treasury called the heads of the major banks into his office, and he handed them each a paper which said, we're going to buy some of your assets, and he said, sign it. And they couldn't leave the room till they signed it, whether they wanted to or not.
They didn't know when they walked in the room, they didn't know what they were going to be doing there.
Right, that's right. And they found out pretty fast.
They walked in not knowing why they were asked to come to the meeting. As you say, they were shown a sheet of paper, and basically they locked the door behind him and said, we're not leaving until you sign it.
That's right.
And now the good news is, Joan, I think, if there is any, I'm grasping here, Joan, is that it's preferred stock, which means that the government doesn't have any voting rights. They only get return on their money, right?
Well, that's good. That's good.
I think that's the case.
I think that's right, yeah.
So, Joan, I want to get this out on the table, and then we're going to move into some of the other points you guys have made here. We don't have as much of a fundamental problem because the houses are still there,
right.
The crops are harvested, the barns are full, the cows are fat, the hogs are fat. You know, people are working. Unemployment isn't that high. Small business owners are still showing up for work every day. We've got lots and lots of technology that can help us be more efficient. We have the ability to communicate instantaneously around the world. We've got all these different organizations, you know, working together. So there are a lot of fundamentally positive things going on. So why aren't things better? Joan, it's one thing. We've lost trust.
Right, and the consumer who has carried us through so many cycles has now said, I'm a little concerned, I'm scared, and I want to, you know, save my money, I'm not going to spend. And that is causing predictions of a very weak Christmas season, and retailers are pulling back, and that sort of spirals in its own way.
Well, there's one other element, though, that has contributed to consumers feeling that way. They don't have the credit lines that they had a year or two ago either.
Right, that's right.
But even those that do
are saying they don't want to spend too much.
I know. But still, even if they wanted to, a lot of the credit opportunities, a lot of the credit facilities, a lot of the credit products that used to be available to all of us, you know, so freely, have really been limited. So the big deal right now is trust, folks. And Joan, you can't legislate that. You can't regulate trust, can you?
Right. That's right. Exactly.
That's what we found out. So, Kiplinger points out what you expect how you expect the situation to unfold, Joan. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, in a few weeks, the plan that Treasury's laid out is going to start, and bank stock will get, or bank debt, we call it the toxic debt, will get bought up and get off their books, and that should hopefully free up credit. We think it's going to take till about Thanksgiving to get an idea of whether this is working. And we think that by the end of the year, credit markets will be functioning much better.
See what's happening, Joan. Correct me if I'm saying this the wrong way.
Sure.
This is the way I understand it. What you've got here, folks, is you've got all this toxic debt that's debt that nobody wants, that nobody wants to value, that doesn't need to be on the balance sheets of these organizations, these banks. Because it makes the bank look bad and look weak and frankly in danger, and because of some of the accounting principles that we have, as long as those assets are on the bank's balance sheets, they really are not going to be able to recover very fast.
That's
but if,
right.
the, if the government steps in and says, okay, we're now going to take responsibility for these toxic debts. Let's just, Joan, maybe we should say it this way. I've got a truckload of apples, and there are 16 apples in that truckload that are going bad. They're threatening to ruin everything else. You come in and take those 16 out. Now my truckload of apples are better. And that's kind of what the government did. They took out the bad apples, took responsibility for the bad apples of these banks. And hopefully when that happens, when they actually get that done, things will be a little bit better. And we're hoping for that. 29 after the hour. Jim, Joe Biden, I'll be right back. You know the-
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back at 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me as I continue to broadcast live from Woodlands, Texas at the Administa Small Business Classic. Having a great time down here. Golf and small business and food is the trifecta, the hat trick. If you get those three things together, and I'm going to be there. Joan Pride knows all about that. She knows how my tendency to be attracted to those three things. Joan, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editor. She's with us right now. Hey, Joan, welcome. Thanks for staying with me.
Thanks, Jim.
Golf, small business, and food. How about that, huh?
Wow. Boy, that sounds like heaven, doesn't it?
It is heaven for me.
Oh, gee.
Hey, Joan, Kiplinger is pointing out that you guys are, you're usually pretty positive folks, and that's what I like about you.
Right.
But you've kind of got a little bit of a gloomy outlook for the rest of this year in 09, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm afraid that gloomy outlook will last all the way through, almost through 2009. We say GDP will shrink through at least the first half of 2009.
Now, when you say shrink, of course, it's not, if it shrinks much, it's going to go below the line, isn't it?
Right. Well, we say for the year, growth isn't likely to be much better than flat. So
yeah.
That means we're going to have at least a couple of quarters of contraction, I guess.
Which means that most people believe, and I'm not going to argue, and I've been arguing with them now for, most of the year, as you know. And I really do think that if, except for what happened the last 2 months, last 30, 60 days, we did have a chance to make it, and based on what we knew, what information we had in front of us, we were basing it on that, and I said we weren't going to have a depression. I mean a recession. But Joan, here's the thing: at this point in time, it's not what we have in reality; it's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Well, and that's the problem, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Joan, and I'm going to say, I said this before, and I'm going to say it again: Wall Street and Washington got us into this mess, but it will take Main Street to get us out of it. And I believe small business owners will lead this country and probably the world out of whatever we're in right now.
I bet you're right.
So let's move over. A lot of the problems we have right now are based on real estate mortgages to homes, home mortgages.
Right.
Not all of them are bad, but the securities that those mortgages rolled up into, even with the good mortgages, that's where the problem lied.
Right.
But or lies, I should say. But you guys point out this week that commercial property is also not doing so well.
Well, that's true, and it's in our own inimitable fashion, we say it's icing up as well. Things aren't moving, and just not a lot of real estate is changing hands.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, Joan, when I hear things like that, I think about opportunities. This might be a good time for small business owners to renegotiate their leases,
right,
if they get a chance. Or if they've got a lease coming up for renewal, folks, don't be afraid to negotiate a little bit harder, to go to your landlord and say, hey, what can you do to help me? I mean,
exactly.
I think any landlord worth their salt is going to say to themselves, I got a good tenant here, maybe I don't need to get rid of this person. Maybe I don't like the fact that I'm going to have to give them a little bit of an adjustment, but that's better than losing the whole business.
Exactly.
So I think that's one of the things to really point out. Joan, let's move down and talk about something really important on the bottom of page two there, and you call it alternative lending systems. I interviewed a guy earlier this week that is doing some of this, lending capital opportunities for small business owners, especially, is really becoming a good tool for small business owners. You guys report on that this week.
You mean as in terms of peer-to-peer lending and other things here?
Yep. Tell us about
yeah.
tell us about the Was it Zopa, Alonio? I've never heard of these guys.
Yeah, Alonio, Zopa, and Prosper, other websites. And they're going to do $5 billion worth of business by 2010. That's pretty good. And it's P2P service, matches peer-to-peer borrowers with lenders, and then services the loan for them.
Mm-hmm. Including, yeah, it's servicing loan. There's another a guy that I know, one of my Brain Trust members, has got a website called iBank.com. iBank.
Oh.
The letter I, bank.com. Mm-hmm. And he helps companies, businesses find different loan facilities. He doesn't administer the loan, but he just helps people. He brings people together.
Yeah.
But also, we come back, I want to talk about factoring and some other alternative financing we've heard about recently that you can help small business owners. 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Joan Pride is our guest. Be right back. Welcome back. 17th Hill. I'm Blasingame, advocate. I'm glad you're here. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, the Kiplinger website is kiplinger.com. And folks, I also like telling you, and it's a good one too, by the way. I use it all the time. And but I also am a subscriber, as I have been now for many, many years. And if you're a subscriber, you can get back into the details. You can get back into more of the research that they offer in their various letters, which includes, by the way, the Kiplinger letter, the flagship letter, has been around for over 85 years now. And then, of course, they have the four biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter. And then you got a magazine. Jonah, give us that phone number, too, please.
That's right. Our magazine is Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. And to order anything or get more information, you just call our toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
You can also subscribe online, and they still got that 30-day free trial I worked so hard to get you. So be sure to check that out. And don't forget, Kiplinger.com. Joan, I want to come back to this. I'm really proud of you guys for bringing up this, doing reporting this week on this alternative financing. I talked to a guy earlier in the week, and let me see if I'll try to pull up, get his information here, and I'll give his website out again in a minute. And his company provides clearing, credit card clearing. Here it is, outside venture LLC.com, I think is the name of the company. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he provides credit card clearing. So if you're a restaurant, his company collects all the credit cards, processes them, and gives you an approval from the bank that issued the credit card.
Wow.
Just like the big guys. But you can also leverage up to 50% of your credit card receipts with him. He'll give you credit to use as working capital up to 50% of those receipts.
Wow.
Now, he's going to charge you interest on it, and it's more expensive than the bank. But if you don't have to, if that helps you get a little bit more capital, all small business capital is expensive, Joan.
Sure.
It's all expensive. And mm-hmm. So then there's also factoring. I'm glad you brought up factoring. These are people that will give you advances on receivables.
That's right.
Right?
Factoring has been around for a long time. I think it's kind of been under the radar screen, though, but I think it's an important way for small business owners to manage debt.
One of the industries that is not going to have that's going to thrive in the next 18 months is the people who have factoring. If you're a factorer, you've got a factoring business, you'll do well because there's going to be more and more need for that. So, folks,
right?
You know, factoring used to just be, Joan, for people who were literally on their last leg, and it was the last option that they had.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's becoming a little more mainstream now.
Yeah.
And so, folks, you know, look around. There are lots of different ways to get the capital you need. And again, I compliment Kiplinger for bringing that up this week. Joan, let's talk about the different healthcare policies. You guys report on that to differentiate the two different policies between Senator McCain and Senator Obama.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, Senator Obama's plan includes a mandate for large and mid-sized companies. They would either need to provide coverage or they would have to pay a fee to help subsidize insurance for those who don't have any. But also small companies would be eligible for credits if they covered their workers' tax credits. Now, Senator McCain would give families a $5,000 credit to buy health insurance in the private market, but employer-provided benefits would be taxed as regular income. It's interesting here, it says business groups aren't happy with either plan.
Right. Well, it depends on which business group you're talking about. If you're talking about the big guys, they may not like it so much. Little guys, small businesses, I think probably, I don't know, I can't, I won't speak for them, but I will tell you this, and this is Jim Blasingame, folks, this is not Kiplinger saying this. Senator Obama's plan has got the government more involved in your health care. If you like that, you need to vote for that. Senator McCain's plan has the government less involved directly in your health plan. If you like that, you need to vote for that. I think it's that simple. And that's the way I feel about it. One of the things that I like about McCain's plan, Joan, and I have to be true to form here, I've always been very interested in what we used to call small business health plans. Mike Enzi of Wyoming introduced, and right. That gives small business owners the opportunity to buy health care across state lines. And that's one element Senator McCain continues to point out about his plan that I like about his plan. And that allows somebody in New Jersey, for example, or New York, that may have a bunch of mandates that they don't need, it allows them to buy from a company in another state.
Right.
And pick the elements of their health plan that they want. And so that's one thing that I wanted to point out there, Joan. Joan, let's move down and talk about the states. The Democrats have 28 of the states, right? And governor.
Yes, that's right. But I think we say things are going to stay pretty much in the same balance as it is now.
Yeah. There are 11 governors that are going to be in play. 11 houses, state houses are going to be in play in this election cycle, and so it'll be interesting to see that. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more. I want to talk a little bit about the coattails of the two candidates, and we got a few other things to talk about. Business costs coming up right after this break. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. Stay with us. Still, I'm Jim Blasingame, business advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. Editor. But a couple of the editors. Joan, remember back in January when I said we were going to live the Chinese curse in 2008?
Oh boy.
May you live in interesting times is what
right.
I predicted we would be doing that. Economically and politically, and boy howdy, have we been getting that a truckload of that prediction. Joan, also, I predicted something else back in when it started looking obvious that Obama was going to win the nomination over Hillary back around May, maybe I think it was. I made another prediction. I said, and McCain already had it wrapped up by then, and I said, if McCain wins, he will have short coattails, meaning not that many people Republicans will be swept into office.
Right.
And if Obama wins, he will have long coattails. Meaning, I think if people pull the lever for Obama, they'll just go ahead and pull them all the way down.
Right.
I still believe that. What do you think?
It's sure looking that way. I think you're right. I think a lot of it depends on turnout, though. That's going to be the key.
I think there's going to be a big turnout, Joan.
I think so.
I think the energy that you mentioned a minute ago, the interest that people seem to be having, I think that will be a turnout. I don't know if it'll be a record because we had over 108 million or something, more than half, or six. No, one election, either 2000 or 2004, was like 61% or something like that.
Right, right. I want to hear about lines at the polls, and I want to hear about, you know, people having to wait for a long time to vote. I think that's great. Now, however, in Virginia, we've already started. We started, I think, voting yesterday. They call it in-person absentee. It's great. You just go over to your local. It's not. It's certain government centers around the county, and I think it really helps. I think alleviate lines on election day.
More states are doing that.
Yeah.
One thing I hope, Joan, I hope the networks don't subvert the election by calling states early before the Western polls have closed.
Well, they're not allowed to.
Well. Is that a law?
They're allowed to call a state after its polls have closed.
That's what I mean.
Well, I don't know how you can stop that. It's going to happen.
Well, I just that's something that bothers me. I don't like that. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out. Joan, let's move over and talk about business costs, commodities. We got good news, Joan. Talk to us about gas, about oil prices.
Well, oh gosh, gas prices. Now that I would like to talk about. We're saying that paying $30 less a barrel translates into $10 billion a year for the airline industry. But also at the pump, we're seeing gas prices down. You know, in my area, gas prices are probably the highest in the nation. And we're finally getting down close to the $3 point. And I think you can find gas below $3 in some areas, which is wonderful.
Joan,
I don't know what it's like out there where you're traveling.
Oil was in the $70 a barrel range this week.
70?
75. Yeah, in the
70. Wow, because last I heard it was 90-something. Wow.
No, that's great. Oh, no. It's below $80 a barrel now.
That's great.
I don't know what it closed at yesterday, but, I mean, Joan, this is half of what it was 2 months ago.
I know.
2 months ago. Remember when we said there's no excuse, there's no reason for oil to be that high? We were right. It was nothing but speculation.
Well, I hope this will help the economy in the long run.
It's the silver lining, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Absolutely, I agree.
I mean, if we can get oil prices down and hold them down, Joan, and continue to do some of the things that are going to help hold them down, like drilling. I think we need to maximize our own oil, our own energy supplies.
Right.
If we're doing that, that's going to be one single thing that will help get us out of this funk that we're in right now.
That would be terrific.
Yeah. And you guys point out that this is going to be, obviously, anybody who hauls people or freight, this is good news for them, like the airlines too, right, Joe?
Yeah, and that would be huge if we get the airlines. And also, any cargo and freight carriers, that would help them a lot.
If you drive trucks, if you send people out of the road selling or delivering, if you carry the mail or the packages or freight or people, all of this is good news, and I really do believe that, Joan, that if we pull out of this thing early, it'll be because of the energy prices dropping.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think so.
And heaven help us if it goes back up. Hey, Joan, thanks for being out today.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Joan. Don't pry, ladies and gentlemen. Senior editors with a couple of your editors. You'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Signing off just for one more day. I'll be back tomorrow, broadcasting live from the Admin Staff, Small Business Classic, in Woodlands, Texas.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.